the nervous system is always going to, its number one job, one of its main functions is to adapt, right, to its environment. So it's an adaptive thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so if we're day in and day out exposed to and engaged in and dealing with stress, right, then the nervous system's going to adapt to that. And it isn't largely, I would say, a real conscious or cognitive process.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Right? And so that's one of the trickiest parts about it. It's that we don't see how that's happening over a period of time. Number one, uh-huh. We don't have this working operational awareness of how our nervous system is adapting to the stress. Number one. And number two, we're not exposed to or don't have enough opportunity to put our nervous systems in environments mm-hmm. to where it can kind of sink down into more of a relaxed, safe space to give us perspective. So right. Those are two really big factors in all of this.
Yeah.
You know? It's kind of like going to sleep, right? Like we don't, it's not like we go from awake to sleep and once we hit that sleep, we know it and it's, you know, it's not this, the process from awake to asleep isn't this process we're conscious of. We might feel sleepy, but other than that, after that, we don't really remember or can't consciously recognize what's happening, right? It's similar in how the nervous system's adapting to a stressful environment. It's mm-hmm. it's this process that we're not taught to or don't feel like it's important to try to pay attention to.
Yeah.
It's not, we're not taught that would be important for our well-being. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And uh-huh. of course we aren't taught that because it's such a, it can, you know, it's a, it kind of a relatively unknown, misunderstood thing, you know?
Yeah, and we are, I mean, just like we go in and out of sleep really without a lot of conscious awareness, like you go in and out of dissociative states without really awareness that you're doing it, right? And dissociation is one of those ways that we are responding to our environment or responding to stress. And you're probably going in and out of dissociative states, different levels of those all day long and back into, you know, presence
mm-hmm.
without even knowing that you're doing it because your nervous system or your body does it automatically
without
you needing to do it on purpose. You don't say, oh, this is a stressful event. I need to disconnect.
Right. Well, that's the thing. It's these, you know, it's like sleep, right? Like sleep, that process happens without you. You aren't doing anything. You may lay down, right? Uh-huh. Set the environment. You may feel some tiredness, but the rest takes care of itself. It happens without you.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about, right?
If you try to go to sleep on purpose, you can't really do it.
Exactly. Right?
You force yourself into sleep state.
Right. And so that process is happening all of the time in our waking state, just in a different way, right? The dissociation, all of these things are natural adaptive responses from our nervous system that they're happening absolutely without us. But what I would say is that they don't have to. Do you see what I mean? They're still mm-hmm. you can go from a place of this nervous system, these adaptive responses happening without you, and it's out of your awareness. You can move from that space to, it's still an adaptive response that's happening without you, but you have some awareness of it. And in essence, kind of like you're responding to the response.
Mm-hmm. Being aware of it is important.
Yeah.
All right. This is a Single Tree Podcast, episode 55. We are who we are because of the ways that we respond to our environment. Or we could say our responses to our environment are who we are. Or at least that's how we think about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
The things that are happening in our bodies, like you're saying, without our permission or even our awareness, are the things that we think are just normal, or we perceive are normal. That's just our experience. But they are the ways that our organism has sort of organized itself in its environment. What you're saying is, if you can't really keep those things from happening, your organism is going to adapt to your environment. Of course it is. It should. It better, or you're going to be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's maybe a way that you can become aware of that and maybe do it in a different way. Is that where you're going
with that? Yeah, I think you can move from this experience that's happening without you to an experience that's happening of its own and with you. Mm-hmm. You know, to where you're simply just at a point to where you can kind of notice and pay attention and recognize. Really, that's where the door opens. Mm-hmm. And we have an opportunity to kind of use that experience of just noticing the adaptive responses, right? And paying attention to them, not even necessarily doing anything differently, but just noticing and paying attention to them. And then I think what that does is that it kind of expands and deepens our working awareness of it. And then I think intuitively and instinctively, there's the opportunity, there's where the door opens to where we can start making those adaptive responses more robust. Mm-hmm. It isn't even necessarily changing or stopping, right? It's more about just developing like an operational awareness around it and giving ourselves just a little bit of space to use our instinct or intuition, whatever you want to say, to make that experience more robust in ways that feel right and good and true for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, being connected to those things that we do in response to our environment,
mm-hmm,
can make them more robust. You're just more connected to it, and it's not even really to say that you would have more control over it. That you know, probably isn't even the goal. It's just being connected to it in a different way. So what we're talking about is, you know, all the different ways that we respond to our environment. You know, we were talking last time about, you know, everything is trauma, the ways that we respond to that are numerous and ubiquitous. You know, there's lots of different ways. We're always doing that, right? You could also say not everything is trauma technically, and so you could also say, like, you're always responding to stress, you know, or even to scale that back or dial that back just a little bit more, you're always responding to stimulus, right? Neutral. We tend to think of trauma, stress as negative, but we are always responding to something in our environment.
Stimulation and even no stimulation, which is stimulates a response to from the nervous system, right?
Yeah, the lack of stimulation.
The lack of stimulation can be very stimulating, which is, sounds weird, but it's true.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're going to talk about some different ways that this happens in people, which are very normal. These are very common experiences, things that happen in organisms, human bodies, and try to normalize all that, remembering that this is all very morally neutral. You shouldn't feel bad about any of the ways that you do this, but you know, that's what we were talking about at the end of the last episode, is like, you know, when you are stressed or something's wrong with you or wrong with your body, you can take credit or responsibility for that, you know, and it's just not necessary to do that. And in fact, you know, it's probably necessary that we stop doing that, stop feeling shame about it or judging it, right? So what we're after here, you know, you're kind of talking about ways that you naturally respond to your environment, and everybody does. And, you know, that's just something that's happening, right? It's really, you know, when we get down to the organism level and we're really talking about and paying attention to what our nervous systems or our bodies are doing, it's not, we're not talking about emotions even, but you know, that's something that is happening. We're not talking about your thoughts or how you cognitively organize yourself around things. Those would be thoughts. We're really talking about the way you unconsciously, your body unconsciously responds to its environment, and it feels very normal to you. You know, it also might create some problems, what we technically could see as quote unquote problems. But, you know, what we're seeking to do is to say that that's all very normal. It's happening to everybody all the time. And if you can get to know your organism and how it is responding, has been responding, you know, will continue responding to its environment, then that is good.
Good and powerful, right? Because, you know, you were saying something that I think is important. You know, our, I don't know, misunderstanding about maybe what's going on, can add a layer of stress and anxiety and shame and guilt on top of this nervous system experience, right? Which really maybe could be, I don't know, just theoretically why we have mental health issues. You know, because we have this misunderstanding about our nervous system, what it's doing and what it means about us and who we are, you know.
Yeah, how do you think people misunderstand it?
Well, I think there's a difference between taking ownership over your nervous system in your body and taking responsibility for. You know, if my nervous system is activated for one reason or another, right? And I immediately internalize that experience, and judge myself as someone that's weak or just can't handle things or that's not resilient or whatever judgment it is, right? Then then comes this guilt and this shame, and then I have judged myself off of this completely organic and natural response from my nervous system. And it's it's not as necessary to do that as we think it does. You know, that initial internalization and judgment of that nervous system response is just more of the nervous system trying to organize chaos. Mm-hmm. Which makes sense. That's what it's supposed to do, right? But I think we can redirect that whole process. I mean, it takes a little bit of time, but where we can allow these nervous system responses to happen, and that we have some operational awareness of it, and you know, we can allow them to happen in our awareness, and we are able to hold and create space for ourselves to make them more robust in a way that we would like. Mm-hmm. It's very different than judging and condemning and criticizing and shaming ourselves for a natural response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's some of the work that needs to be done, is just to uncomplicate your relationship or your view of your nervous system's responses to its environment. And then, you know, that could take a while.
It does, sure.
Because we're so used to judging ourselves or those things as bad.
Yeah, it's become a habit, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. It's, once again, it's just a response to the initial response that your nervous system is just trying to organize the chaos through judging it and creating a story around it. It's just your nervous system doing the same thing, just mainly in a kind of like an intellectual dimension.
Well, yeah, I think trying to control everything by judging it or understanding it cognitively is definitely another way to kind of like neutralize anything that's threatening.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Which is totally natural. It's okay. But although it's completely natural, right? It can cause us more difficulty, you know. Then we start, you know, telling stories about ourselves, and our whole identity is created around those internalizations. Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's talk about some of the ways that on the organism level or the nervous system level, our bodies sort of naturally respond to stress or our environment and become kind of like ingrained in our organism, in our bodies, mm-hmm. you know, you know, they can become sort of, organized in that way. You know, so let's just get into it. We'll maybe explain that a little bit better. You know, talk about our personal experience a little bit, and also talk about just general, because these things that we're talking about, ways that people get organized in their environment, are very common. You know, we're probably all experiencing them to one degree or another. So like part of my personality, or like how I am in the world, is maybe like becoming disconnected. I talked the last time about feeling scattered, you know. And maybe part of that is because of, at least part of it, maybe all of it is because of maybe stress or difficulty, you know. And so it is kind of an avoidant thing that happens. I was going to say like tactic, you know. It's not really a tactic because it's not really it's not really intentional
yeah.
on my part, you know? It's more something that just happens because my organism or my nervous system has sought to like get away from things that are unpleasant, difficult, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one. Another way that I see, I think, that I do that is just by sort of like disconnecting from things. And so like, yeah, I was talking to someone this morning about, you know, when you get in an unsafe situation, you know, one of the strategies that your nervous system employs, again, it's not intentional on your part, but your nervous system will, you know, give you this tool, you know, or method, you know, just to like go somewhere else in your mind mm-hmm. or something, you know? So like, for me, like when I was in stressful situations, boring situations, which is, you know, like not stimulating enough situations, or, you know, for example, if someone's like talking a whole bunch and you don't really like what they're saying, or it's making you uncomfortable, or they're just talking too much, going on and on, you know, you just sort of like disconnect and go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In your mind, or you just kind of become numb to your environment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were talking about dissociation, which is like a state that you exist in, which is just not being really fully present in the space that you're in, or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's just like one example of something that we automatically do,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's not really conscious to us. It can't. It almost can't be.
Yeah, largely unconscious, right? I mean, unless you're geeking out over nervous system stuff like you and I are,
uh-huh.
and like really thinking about this stuff, and
uh-huh.
you know. It's going to go relatively unnoticed.
Yeah. And so I kind of, you know, lately, for whatever reason, probably reading the book that we were talking about, you know, I've kind of noticed that happening more, right? Which I'm sure I'm doing it all the time, and people are like, where is that dude? He's somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, but I've noticed it myself, even if someone else maybe hasn't noticed it. Like, I'm just like, oh, I'm checked out right now,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. You know, again, neutral stance to that.
Yeah, so that's the thing, right? Like, uh-huh. that's what I'm talking about. Like, mm-hmm. You just got done explaining this process that I really think is a powerful one and one I believe in, which is, you know, it starts at a conceptual level, like, oh, there's this dissociation. What would that, you know, I know what it means. What would that even look like? I wonder how that translates into my life, right? And just kind of passively being on the lookout for it, right? Like it'll reveal itself. And then as you continue to kind of expand your awareness around it, and you're doing the key thing, which is responding non-judgmentally, you're just noticing it, right? That's the thing that really starts to, once again, that's where the door opens, mm-hmm. right? And you have, for Joel gets the opportunity to decide how he wants to respond to the response, which mm-hmm. is, okay, you're noticing this dissociation or this checked out. Mm-hmm. You're noticing it non-judgmentally. There is where the space opens for you to just kind of engage your instinct, intuition, imagination to think about what you want to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where it becomes robust, right? That's where this thing, a seed, mm-hmm. which is the initial response, mm-hmm. can blossom really into a flower.
Yeah, I think I've started to, or, you know, I think it's, I just think it's helpful in general, you know, for people to realize that that's a, that's actually a resource to be able to disconnect.
Yeah.
And become like thoughtless.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes I think I'm not doing that enough. You know? Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to be so present all the time or whatever. Especially like talking to people all day or
sure.
whatever, you know, or like always want to be doing something productive or whatever, which, you know, the dissociative state doesn't feel very productive.
Right. But they're
very passive.
Yeah. But therein lies, you know, an opportunity to discover that this dissociation, right, isn't inherently a bad thing. It can, once we have some perspective and understanding around it, we can really actually maybe for the first time have an opportunity to consciously figure out how we want to integrate it into our life. Mm-hmm. You know?
Right. It's a gift to become mindless.
Yeah. And it's total gift. Believe me.
And it's actually pretty restful.
Yeah. Regenerative. You know?
Yeah. Which is something that I struggle with, honestly, you know, because I, again, always want to be like doing something or thinking something, creating something, like, you know? And the, you know, like, dissociative state is just sort of like becoming really passive a lot of times.
For sure.
Daydreaming.
Yeah.
Not, you know, like you let, you could let like 10 minutes pass and realize your mind actually was in control and going where it wanted to instead of you actually thinking anything.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That would be a little bit of a dissociative state.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we tend to think of, again, we tend to think of that as bad or pathological or something, and but it's not.
I think of when I'm talking about it with my clients or other people that I know, I talk about, I use the analogy of taking like a road trip. And if you've if you've ever driven to Colorado, right, like driving in western Kansas, right, into eastern Colorado can be really boring, right? And it seems like, you know, after a couple hours of driving, there's like this state that you enter into, almost kind of like a little bit of a haze. It's almost like there's a veil kind of between you and everything that's going on. Not so thick that you can't see everything, right? Like you enter into this state where people may be in the car having a conversation with you. Radio's on. You see the scenery. You see the stops, you know, the signs on the highway. You know how fast you're supposed to be going. There's a functioning going on, right? Maybe having conversation or whatever. But you're kind of like in this haze, right? Well, I would describe that as a, like a certain level of dissociation. Well, is that bad? I would say no, because it's an adaptive response, right? In some ways, it's almost kind of like, you know, your body's on cruise control because it's going to have to be doing this thing for hours, right? And so it makes sense for you to kind of switch into that mode. You're going to be doing this one thing.
Autopilot.
Yeah, for hours. Why? So, you know, that's a great, to me, that's a great example of how there's a, there can be this functionality in it. It's, you know, it's, it can be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's very adaptive. It, you know, so you would do this at times that are, you're bored. You don't have enough stimulus.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You're going to be doing the same thing for hours. And, or, you know, might even be times where you're you feel stress and difficulty and don't really have much recourse. You can't do anything about it. You can't neutralize it. You can't get yourself out of the situation or, do something to control your environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's unpleasant enough or uncomfortable enough that you would enter that state. And it's very adaptive.
Mm-hmm.
That's dissociation. Another way that we are organized in our environment is, responding to threat. And this might be more, closer to like danger, right? Or something's, highly stressful. One of the things that happens is you do bracing, or your muscles really like get engaged because in kind of like a defensive posture or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so for those of us who have experienced trauma, danger, threat, abuse, the constant threat of violence around us, even if it's not happening to us specifically, our muscles do that without our even thinking about it. They're braced or like ready to, engage to defend ourselves. And that can be happening like more than it's not happening.
Sure.
So if you think about that, like if you're not in a safe situation, you may feel like your muscles never relax. Right. And so, and I know I feel like that sometimes, but, there's a lot of us who experience a lot of muscle tension,
mm-hmm.
right? Tightness, soreness, all the
spasms.
Yeah. All the pain that comes along with that. And, again, we think of that as bad. But again, it's not intentional.
No, it's happening without you. It's just the energetic response.
Yeah.
To the environment. And what can happen is that if time goes on beyond that response, right? Then there can be that muscle tightness as time goes on in times where it's maybe not as necessary as your nervous system thinks it needs to, right?
Yeah, because you kind of think that the whole world is unsafe or dangerous, mm-hmm. especially if you'd never experienced safety enough to where you would completely relax, which might be like when you experience like physical touch from a loved one, or it might be just kind of in your own space that feels completely safe. So it could be in solitude, somewhere where you feel like there's absolutely no threat.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. And especially like if you grew up around people who were not very safe, you're going to tend to think that people are generally unsafe.
Sure.
Like yeah. Getting around people feels like, oh, I need to do that thing again.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't think that. Again, this is all unconscious. It's happening in your body at the organism level.
Yeah.
Without probably you knowing it's happening, right? Yeah. So we're all tight and need massages, and we know it's because of stress. We just don't ever remember having that happen.
Yeah, it's this thing that's happening without us. It doesn't need us
mm-hmm.
to do what it's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, so in the trauma speak, we call that bracing. It's like just anytime your muscles sort of get engaged to like protect you mm-hmm. or defend you from harm or danger. Even if there wasn't physical danger necessarily, sometimes like even feeling emotionally unsafe can cause that.
Right. And maybe even the lack of danger can start to feel dangerous. Mm-hmm. Like, right? Because, you know, sometimes in my clinical work, I'll hear the phrase waiting for the shoe to drop, right? So in this space where nothing's happening, even when nothing's happening, even when there is no perceived threat, that starts to become threatening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that can translate into tightness of muscles.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're just waiting around for the next time something unsafe is going to happen. So you're still bracing for something to happen. Mm-hmm. So that's bracing. There's also like our, you know, we naturally have the fight response when there's something that's dangerous or threatening. And so we have this aggression, right, that we feel in response to some things that happen. And, you know, some of us are aggressive, you know, we get angry or, you know, even attack other people. But then there's also this, you know, kind of like social responsibility that we tend to have, which keeps us from being aggressive. You know, you can't just go around like, you know, screaming at people and threatening them and attacking them, you know. And that, so that's something that we learn, you know, kind of our social structures tell us that we're not allowed to do that, right? So sometimes we're kind of holding aggression, right? But that's it. We're just holding it. It's not, you know, there's kind of that opposite reaction to that, which is like holding back aggression. So I think aggression builds up for people.
An energy, yeah.
A lot of times, right?
Yeah, it's an energy for sure.
Yeah.
That we even like, you know, repressing, you know, like that means like holding it down. And so mm-hmm. we may not even cognitively or consciously be doing that. It's just this kind of somatic experience where our body is literally holding this very strong energy in, right?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, most of the time, I would say all of the time, you know, the passivity eventually becomes aggression, you know, because you're holding it in. It will come out somehow at some time. You likely won't be able to hold that forever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it might come out at a time when, you know, it's not really appropriate for that. You know, the response to something that you, that happens to you is greater than what it probably deserves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
That's...
Yeah. So, but still, you know, it's adaptive to become aggressive when you experience threat. One of the ways that we, you know, maintain our survival is to fight off threat when it's present. And so, yeah, part of our work is probably to help people engage with their aggression in some ways that are not dangerous for themselves or someone else, or so that aggression doesn't come out at a different time when it's not warranted.
Yeah, that can be tough to get to do that and orient ourselves right in a healthy way to this energy of aggression or anger or whatever, because it's a strong energy, and if we don't, it like literally in our body we don't feel safe, right? We don't have this internal sense of safety, it can be difficult to kind of change our relationship to that really strong energy, you know, because it doesn't feel safe to have a really strong energy in our body.
Mm-hmm. So that's aggression. And then, you know, a lot of times we're kind of holding that back so that we're not acting in aggressive ways toward people. So here's another one for me that's a pretty strong part of my experience, and that would just be like downplaying or restricting emotional responses. And it's pretty similar to restricting, holding back aggression. You likely have had some emotional experiences that have been difficult, felt dangerous, or sort of invasive. And so you just kind of, you might be feeling things inside yourself, but like not expressing them.
Mm-hmm.
Or trying to kind of dampen them down. So because engaging emotionally has been dangerous or has led to some unwanted connection, you know, or relationship that has become problematic.
Yeah, or to avoid conflict, right?
Yeah, avoid conflict, right?
Or even wanting to be seen in certain ways. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can identify with that response too. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
it can be tricky. You know what I mean? It's with people that you love the most, it can be especially tricky, right? Because they can do things that maybe elicit, you know, strong emotions, and you want to downplay them because you don't want more conflict, right? And in addition to that, sometimes you want to be, you want them to see you in a certain way as safe. It can be tricky. It creates this real tricky kind of situation where, you know, while I want my loved one, I've got this really strong emotion that they elicited, but I don't want to, I'm going to downplay it, right? Because I don't want more conflict with them, and I want them to see me as someone that is safe. Mm-hmm. That's just really a tricky space for us to be in.
Yeah. The other way that this happens is if you, you know, have expressed emotion in the past, gotten excited about something, expressed, you know, love or, you know, any emotion really, and it hasn't been met with any kind of response at all.
Yeah.
You know, you start to feel like, well, what's the use of, you know, expressing anything if it's, because, you know, expressing those things would be meant to like help you connect with someone else, and the other person isn't interested or available or whatever, and then you just stop doing that.
Yeah, you just develop this adaptive response to just kind of keep it watered down or numb it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so again, something that you don't really do on purpose. You know, that whole process, thought process that I just walked through isn't really something that you ever think.
Mm-mm.
You just kind of stop doing it because it's hurtful or, you know, difficult if you put yourself out there and don't have connection.
Yeah, it keeps you safe, right?
Yeah. So that's another one. Another thing that people do is become pleasing. Like they think about everybody else's emotions and want them to be happy, you know, and then get kind of more focused on that than their own well-being even.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, you can see how that would be problematic, but I mean, it's very much a survival tactic, you know, that we have that, just helps us neutralize threat and feel safe and feel like things are going to be okay, because when everybody else is okay, then I can feel okay, right? So it's another safety thing. you know, some of us have just kind of high activation all the time. So if we have had situations or people around us who have been, you know, sort of coached us to be really anxious and taught us that everything's, we're always in crisis or emergency mode or whatever, then, you know, you might have just be highly activated all the time to worry and think that there's threat everywhere, you know. We're not going to have enough food or money or something bad's going to happen at some point in the future, you know, probably later today, or, you know, so you become highly, your nervous system is highly activated all the time. Yeah, and then there's like the dissociation, fragmentation, even to the point of, you know, your self really feeling like you're different people, you know,
mm-hmm.
or you're outside of yourself, or, you know, psychotic disorders, you know, hallucinations, delusions, really your whole experience becoming fragmented. These are all adaptive ways that we respond to our environment. So what else do you want to say about that?
Well, in some ways, they, you know, the, you know, these adaptive responses, as, you know, as natural as they are, right, they can kind of leave us feeling disconnected from ourselves. Like a, keep us from feeling like a deeper sense of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, when these adaptive responses are just happening, essentially happening without us, right? Beyond our awareness, and we identify who we are and with these responses, I think what happens is that we never have the space to really objectively explore these responses and engage a deeper part of ourselves to find out for ourselves how we want to respond to these responses. You know, in some ways, like, mm-hmm. unless we have that opportunity, it's hard for us to really know or to get a deeper sense of who we are, which I think that's what we all want, right?
Yeah. What I think is really interesting is that we're all walking around with all these things that we're doing to sort of try to neutralize threat and feel, you know, comfortable, not like things aren't in chaos, right? And how often we're busy, you know, just kind of like throwing people off the trail, and, you know, in effect doing the same thing to ourselves, you know, because we're just so bent on, you know, not experiencing the actual hurt and trauma
mm-hmm.
that we have. And so, you know, these things that we're talking about are not, you know, necessarily pathological. They are adaptive. And also, you might want to work with them a little bit, right? And yeah. So like if you are continually feeling this internal aggression that you don't ever feel like you can express or, you know, act on, and it's just kind of getting stuck energetically inside you, then you might want to work with that a little bit, right? And that's not to say that it's bad, but you know, you might be busy trying to convince people that you're not angry all the time, you know what I mean? And so we're trying to sort of convince ourselves and everyone else that we're not experiencing the thing that we're experiencing, you know?
Yeah, I can get caught up in that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was telling you before, our podcast just last couple of days, for some reason, that energy really was just really strong. Uh-huh. And I could feel it in my body. It was
yeah.
really uncomfortable. It was just like ever present, very, very strong. And, you know, I think because I take, you know, the things that we're talking about seriously and try to put them into practice, I've been able to kind of get to a point, and it isn't like a perfection kind of thing, where you're able to kind of get to a point to where I can recognize that and, like, you know that it needs some conscious attention without engaging in these other kind of ways of mitigating it, right? And, you know, it took, you know, for a full 2 days, it was there really strong and took a lot of my energy just to just let, you know, let it be there and, you know, give it attention and just kind of let it inform me, you know. And I think it was a good opportunity because, in some ways, I think, you know, as it's kind of on the decline, you know, today, and it's not as strong, but, you know, I had an opportunity to, you know, kind of talk about it to my partner. And, you know, it was a good conversation. And, you know, really kind of was able to kind of come to this place where, it's just, you know, grief, right? But it's just this, you know, accumulation, I think, you know, of just grief of, you know, existing and the things you have to deal with and do. And that accumulates, you know, and I think what I was left with was this really strong energy of anger that was not going to just, you know, let me just kind of downplay it or, you know, gloss it over. It was going to demand some attention. And, you know, it did. That's for sure.
Do you find yourself, when you experience something like that, anger, aggression, like trying to convince people that you're not, or even avoid like letting on that you're feeling that?
Less and less I do, but for it's still there for sure. You know, it's just this thing, you know, when I'm feeling that energy, it can still feel chaotic and unsafe to me. You know what I mean? I think I'm more and more getting to the place where I can let that energy be there, and I have still have a felt sense that I'm safe, and you know, I'm not really in the throes of chaos. But you know, that's really taken me a you know, quite a bit of time to kind of change my relationship to, for sure. You know, but as I continue to just do that less, right, and change my relationship to it, and you know, it's helpful to me. It's good, useful. It's a good and useful experience. It can help me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can be neutral to it, or even see it as useful. That has a function or something.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I'll ever get to the point to where I love having that experience, because, you know, those 2 days were, you know, that was difficult holding that much energy, you know what I mean? And I don't know that I'll ever get to the point to where I love it, and I don't think that's what you're suggesting, but I can definitely stay in enough of a place of neutrality where I can kind of let it, give it space to kind of move and inform me, and you know, for sure.
Yeah, I think one of the ways that I try to kind of throw people off the trail is with the downplaying emotion. You know, I think I mentioned that earlier, that I do that, but you know, just trying to convince people that at not feeling something about anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything that happens, you know, is kind of fine or doesn't register much of a response from me or something like that, even though that's probably not really accurate.
Yeah.
Right. So again, it's a way that I've kind of organized myself in my environment to respond to lots of emotion, conflict, emotionally charged situations, people being upset and me not feeling like I can do anything about it, you know. And so I, yeah, just downplay my own emotional experience. And you know, usually my face reflects that or whatever. And so people think that there's not much of an emotional response. And so that's what I'm talking about. Like we're sort of, we've organized our lives around avoidance of the things that are the most difficult for us.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, you know, especially like working with people in therapy, you know, the problem is not all the time, like, how do we get through this trauma? You know, like that's the thing that we're trained to do. The problem is more, how do I get this person to get motivated to work through that trauma instead of like, you know, sort of trying to convince me that it's something else is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Or someone else is the problem, or, you know?
Yeah. We could have a whole other podcast really about, you know, the consequences of how, you know, the real impact that has on our lives. You know what I mean? We develop this identity around, well, I'm ineffable, right? And cool and calm and collected. I know I can definitely do that, right? And there can be a, that can really have an impact on our lives. You know what I mean? In not a good way. If we don't give ourselves an opportunity to kind of really explore the things that we're talking about and be honest with ourselves, it's, you know, that can have a real lasting impact on our lives.
Yeah. So, you know, although these ways that we're talking about our nervous system organizing itself around responding to its environment, we're saying that those things are not really pathological. You know, they are helping us avoid our trauma,
mm-hmm.
or the things that have been the most difficult for us. You know, another example is like, if you're someone who's in high activation all the time, just always worried, always, you know, making sure to avoid danger or threat or whatever, however that comes, or anything that would make you feel unsafe or whatever, you know. Financial worry or worry about not getting things done, you know, I mean, it is another way to avoid, you know, the thing that you're really afraid of, probably, which is like something really bad is going to happen. But that's not really what we're talking about most of the time. It's mostly these other things that sort of represent that deeper fear or whatever. So all of these ways that our nervous systems really skill that, like, keeping us away from the danger.
Yeah.
The real
doing danger. This job. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, like we've talked about, the ways that we want to work are to help people get out of their thoughts and feelings even, and really into their body or, you know, their nervous system. Focus on, you know, those things that are happening at the organism level, seeing those as neutral, not judging them, right? And then also just providing safety, right? Because we do all these things all the time, or our body really does them all the time, because we see threat everywhere.
Yeah.
Especially around other people. And so, you know, achieving safety is pretty huge in getting you to really like focus on what's happening at that nervous system level.
Yeah, that's the biggie right there, right? Yeah. Feeling safe. Safe enough, actually. Safe
enough. Yeah, you may never feel 100% safe.
Yeah, that's not what we're talking about. Safe enough.
Safe-ish. Mm-hmm. Safe enough to work with these things a little bit. In future episodes, we'll talk more about how healing can happen, how we work with these, you know, different ways that we avoid difficulty and trauma and danger, and just kind of get to a place where those things maybe aren't so active in taking us away from a present experience with what we're actually experiencing.
Yeah, those will be good ones. Look forward.
All right. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.